thank you for having me here. It's my privilege, and I'm really blessed to be with you. This is not just a small church. This, I believe you've got a major fulfilling in the plan that God has in His kingdom here at Heinertsburg, and I always consider this place as one of my favorite places and favorite people. I love Ian Engen and the children, really, through the years. They've been very good to us, and I praise the Lord that I can be here. I just want to explain something this morning. Like Ian said, I've been at our church, Hatfield Christian Church, my previous church, for 28 years, and I served there, and I served God there as a pastor. When I left, I was reminded of the bond slaves in the old days. It's a slave that served out their time, and a master would let him go. And then some of these slaves would come back and say, I'm going to serve you out of my own now. As a free man, I'm serving you. Then they would take him to the doorpost, and they would make a mark in his ear. And I did this. I put this ring on to say, I said to God, God, I'm serving you now out of my own. I had served the church, and I served you through the church, but now I'm my own. I'm coming back to you. I'm your bond slave. That's why I put this, and I'm a bit Zeph also. I say that. I have to be truthful to you. Thank you for laughing like that you recognize something. It actually makes me worry. You should have said, yeah, Joe, man, yeah, he's new Zeph. Thank you. Is he really? Yeah, that was it. And it's lovely to be. Weet jy wat Zeph is? Nee, yes, like when. Hulle sê, hier is a Zephometer. You measure your length of your mallet. That's if I had one. Die grootte van jou drink. En is die profiel van jou tyres, jou kar. Dis mos jy gooi vir my twee vingers brandy en vier vingers coke. Dis is 'n bad start vir 'n kerkmeeting. So ek probeer uit die Bybel uitlees nou. It's I've thought about this morning, and always like a morning like this, it's like a motivational speech time, you know. And I thought, God, I don't want to do that. I sensed in my heart that the Lord wants to challenge us. You see, we all talk about knowing our purpose in life. What's the purpose? Why did God create me? What's the purpose in my life? And what should I do? And we normally think about great things, you know, that we should do. And somebody has to send us somewhere. They have to stamp a paper and give you and say, "Ach, gat jy," and then you go. You know, then you feel, I've got a purpose now. People recognize this, and I'm going. And I want to share around this morning, because we're living in a world which asks a lot of us, and we do not realize that our purpose is so linked up in where we live every day. Where we rub shoulders with people, that's where our purpose is. And God has given us certain tools, and I want to challenge you this morning, and forgive me if I'm not going to give you, like I said, a motivational speech. I want to challenge you this morning with the tools which God has given us for our purpose. You see, for me, touching the people around me, that's what God has created me for. And that's the greatest pleasure that we can find, and the greatest fulfillment. Jesus, actually, in his time, in John chapter 4, when he had interaction with the woman at the well, we all know that scripture, and his disciples came back from town. They said, "Here's some food to eat, Master." And he said, "I've got food to eat that you know nothing about." He was so fulfilled by that interaction, because God used him through the Holy Spirit in this woman's life. And the individuals whom we touch, we have no idea who we're touching. We have no idea what God's doing in that time when we spend with people, and we allow God to flow through us and just have a word, sometimes just a compliment, and sometimes just a kind word. And I'm watching, when I drive, the young black guys with their nice cars now, you know. And previously they couldn't have that, but now they've got nice cars. And I watch them. When we stop a robot, I always watch them, and then I show his tires is sharp. And then I look at these guys, and you can see they grow 10 feet tall, you know, because they're proud of their cars. And it's great to do that, because When you do something like that, the Holy Spirit comes closer, I tell you. Because God gives us compliments all the time. God speaks life into us. God's heart is to raise us up and to lift us up. And if we position ourselves with Him in that place, we will find that God will use us in awesome ways. A friend of mine, I don't want to mention the Dorpie, Herman Eis. You know Herman Eis. I don't want to mention the Dorpie, but in this little Dorpie, he was doing some conference or part of one, some conference, and he went into the Dorpie to buy a cold drink, but the only place you could find, that's his story, is the liquor store. Yeah, that's his story. But so he walked in, and there was a woman behind the counter, and she gave him an invitation that few guys would refuse, you know, but it was a bad one that she, and he thought to himself, he stood back, he thought, I'm not going to embarrass this woman. What a guy, what a man. He's a friend of mine. I thought, what a man. Many guys would say, I rebuke you and that and that, and then they will brag about how wonderful they are. Yeah. But he stood back, he said, I'm not going to put this woman back. He stood there and he said, God, speak to me about this woman. And God gave me a word of knowledge. He spoke to that woman. She broke down, he prophesied over her. Changed her life. And I thought, this is awesome. And you know what he said to me? He said, that was his highlight of the week. He ministered all weekend, but that was his highlight. I remember me going into a barber shop the other day, and it was a woman, at a men's barber shop. I said, "Sneem jy mans haar?" "Ja, ek sneem jy mans haar, maar kan like say, like you boots." But I didn't want to stray with her because she looked a bit strong as well. So I sat. So she did my hair, and I paid. When I paid, I thought, God, there's something. And I said to her, "Are you in pain?" She says, "Yes, my back is killing me." I said, "Sit here, man, I'll bid gou vir jou." And I prayed for her, and God touched her right there. Sometimes God touched people 2 weeks later or something. He must do what He wants. But that morning He touched her right there. And she stood up, she said, "Wie is jy? Geef my jou nommer." Ek sê, "Nee, los die nommer, in 2 weke, ek het 2 weke cycle, sien my weer sien." Moenie worry wie sê ek nie. Die Here het jou aangeraak. But as I drove out, I watched her on the phone. She's got a whole network of people. Yeah, she's got a whole network of people. And I thought, God, this is awesome. This is the highlight. This is the highlight of my year. You know? This is awesome. And we've got no idea how God wants to use us with individuals that we touch every day. Now we're thinking, what is my purpose? You know? Hulle het klaar die flippin' ligte uitgevind en al die telefoon en alles. Forget that stuff. You just say, God, use me with the individuals I'm touching every day. Just put your words in my life. Just put your love in my heart to reach people and touch people. And I always say, when people are sick and we pray for them, sometimes they don't get healed. Some people die. But what a wonderful thing if they can experience the love of God when I lay my hands on them before they die. I say, God, let your love just flow there. Let you just touch them, and they sense the presence of God. And then the issue is not getting healed anymore. They go in the presence of God, and that's it. Now, this morning, I want to challenge you a little bit. I want to share with you, some of you are very familiar with this. Some maybe not. I want to share with you about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I don't have an in-depth study about it, and I don't profess to know everything about it. I know very little. Because the more you walk with God, the less you start to realize you know. And my problem is, I go through the schools with the Holy Spirit, you know. Every now and then, I find myself in grade 1 again. They say, Joe, you should be a spiritual giant already, but now you're in grade 1 again. But that's the school of the Holy Spirit. He takes you again and again through the same stuff sometimes to just bring back a humility and a brokenness. And that's how it works with us. And we never become experts. And so I'm not an expert in this, but I want to share with you just briefly. But what I want to do through this is I want to create in you a desire. This morning you're going to sit here, I'm going to share, and you're going to sit here and you're thinking, God, I've never thought of it like this. That's what I want. I start to have a desire in my heart for this, like never before. I want to pray for people. I want to share your word with people. I want to have a discerning of spirits so I can know what the angels are doing around us. I want to know, Lord, what's going on in people's hearts. Give me a word of knowledge. And I'm going to share, like I said, you know, in depth, and maybe you know a little bit more than me about it, but forgive me for that, and have patience on me with that. But I want to stir you this morning with this, and I'm going to share like briefly on each one of them. But the main thing is not what I share with you, is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your heart. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, the last verse, he says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, he says, eagerly desire the greater gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. He lifts out prophecy. You see, God fills us with His Spirit. We live in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. We live in a time of the Spirit. It's like a great gospel group, Mike and the Mechanics. Do you remember them? I actually lie about a great gospel group. But they sang a song, I'm a beggar sitting on a beach of gold. And we are mostly like that. We like beggars sitting on a beach of gold because the Spirit of God desires so much to fill us, more than we want Him to fill us. I promise you, if you would open your heart and say, God, fill me, you'll find Him meeting you at a place where He'd surprise you. If you find a little bit of time and just waiting on God, say, God, fill me with your Spirit. That's what He wants. In Ephesians 5, verse 17, it's Paul who says, don't be stupid. He says, do not be unwise, but be wise. Find out what God's will is. And then what's His will? He says, don't get drunk from wine. There's debauchery in that, but be filled with the Spirit continually. That's God's will. If that's His will, that's what He wants to do with me, you see. And He says, He compares it with wine, which, how easy is it to drink wine? For some it's maybe not so easy, but for me, I find it very easy. But which is not something to boast about, but it's easy. But He says, just as easy it is to drink wine, so easy it is to fall of the Spirit. If you think it's a hard thing, you think the wrong thing. If you go sit and you open your heart, you say, God, just fill me with your Spirit. He will do. And I want to say something else according to gifts of the Spirit before I share on that. Many people, it depends on what denomination you are from, they think the gift of tongues is a key to the rest of them. Some people think if you're not speaking in tongues, you're not filled in the Spirit. It's a big lie. I tell you, don't believe it. Because I know people who pray for the sick and they get healed and they're not speaking in tongues. Because it's clearly the Bible says He gives the gifts as He wants. I'm going to read just now. Just as He wants. So there's none of the gifts that is a key to the others. In fact, Paul prefers prophecy above tongues. When you read the Bible, 1 Corinthians 14, you see Paul will say, I'd rather have people prophesy. I speak in tongues, he says, like more than you. But I'd rather have you prophesy. He says, you prophesy is greater than the one who speaks in tongues. That's what he says. So don't get bogged down. Some people are getting prayed for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, or they sit and wait on God, and they don't find to speak in tongues easily. Don't get bogged down. Say, there's 9 gifts of the Spirit. Say, God, open my heart. And this morning, I want to ask you to be aware. I'm going to read through it. And even as I read through it, the Holy Spirit is going to start to push some buttons in your life. It could change your life. You know what happens? God has a certain identity for each one of us. It's a blueprint. Now, in 1 Timothy 4, verse 14 to 15, he says this. He says, do not neglect the gift which is within you. Give yourself wholly to it. Be diligent in it. And your progress will be evident to all. Now here we see a whole, it's like a perseverance time. Hy sê, moenie die genadegawe in jou nalat nie. Gee jouself volkome daan. Wees vlytig daan. En jou vooruitgang sal almal duidelik wees. What vooruitgang? What progress? That's the manifestation. That's the place where God's identity is starting to work in your life and starting to get connected with your life. Because the gift of the Spirit is something which God has intended for each one of us. But He like the Bible says, He gives it to us. And He enables us just as He wants. This one He gives this, and that one that. So that we'll be dependent on each other. Not all of us have all the gifts. There's nobody that's got all the gifts. Some has got gifts of power and of faith, great faith. Which is wonderful. You look at them, they're amazing. But they're not able to discern so well, you know. And you think everything they say is the truth. It's not like that, because they need a teacher. They need someone who teaches, somebody who studies the Bible to help them in that. You know, they have not got all. And then you get great prophetic ministry. And you think these guys, they know it. They don't know it all. It's just a gift that God gives. One of the gifts. He's dependent. She's dependent on the others also. People are gifted in gifts of healing, which is amazing. But it's not that they have everything. There's just the one gift that God's given them, which is wonderful, but they also need the others. And so this morning, God wants to touch your heart, and He doesn't want to give it to us that we'll just start to do it as like we're checking it out or we're just experimenting with it. It should become your life. It should become part of your identity. That's why He says this. He says, your progress will be evident to all. It's part of your identity. It becomes you, because you're doing God's, what God has given you, and you're putting what God's given in your life, and you're being diligent in that and doing that all the time. He says there's something is going to happen. There's a progress that starts to happen. So what does it mean? It means that God places a seed in my heart that I know and God knows. I've got this desire. And people would ask, how do you know, Joe, what gift is for you? I believe it's through desire. That's why Paul says, eagerly desire. God initiates it. Not everybody will desire the same gift. And I desire it so much, Lord. I desire what you initiate in me so much. And I want to desire even more. I want to ask you, what do you desire in God? Are you just living? Or is there stuff that you really desire? Are you really attaining to and wanting to stretch out to and take hold of? Is there stuff like that? If there's not, I want to advise you to go and look and pray and say, God, put this desire in my heart. Let it burn in me that I would do this and I will live in this. Understand? So I remember the first time I heard somebody prophesy, I was 18 years old. I screamed inside. I said, God, I must do this. I'll die if I don't do this. Never knew that it would become my life. That's what I do. That's who I am. That's what I do now. Never knew that that will be my life one day. But a desire God initiated in me so much. And that's this morning. Let me tell you, all of us are called by God. All of us are qualified by God. 2 Corinthians, our competency is not in ourselves, but it's in Him. And He has called us. You see, and that's what it's about. So do not neglect the gift. Give yourself holy. Be diligent in it. And everyone will see your progress. The very first gift, let me read to you from 1 Corinthians 12. And I'm going to be very brief about them. Not going to have a big study. But the thing is about God's desire in your heart. The Holy Spirit takes us on. If you step into that desire, place of desire, the Holy Spirit will take you further. I tell you, much more than I can ever teach you or explain to you. First verse, 1 Corinthians 12, interesting one. He says about spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters here, I don't want you to be ignorant. In other words, He wants us to know. This is something we have to know about. We have to know about this and not just know by experiment, but know by living in it and intimately know it. I'm going to skip to verse 4. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one of us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To the one, there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. That's to the one. To the other, a message of knowledge. By the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To others, distinguishing between spirits. To others, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are work of the one and the same Spirit. And He gives them all to each one, just as He determines. You see that? So He divides this. He decides, and He puts the desire in your heart. So I've read through this now. Now I'm going to just mention each one of them, but I want you to open your heart this morning, because this could change your life. This could change the outlook of your life. This could put you in a place where Paul said at the end of his life, he says, I've poured out my whole life. I poured it out. This could be like Jesus said, this is the end. I've given it all. That we'll get to a place where we say, God, I've given it all. That's all. That's all you've given me. I've given it. That's it. I don't need a church to stand before and speak. I don't need a group. I just, where I went, I touched people's lives. Jesus' most important times when he touched people was when he touched individuals. All of the time. He touched individuals, and those individuals went further and did amazing stuff. The gift of wisdom, very first one. We've got a blank check for that. James chapter 1 verse 5, what does it say? It says, if you need wisdom, ask God. He will freely give it to you without finding fault. Isn't that amazing? So he says, I will not only give you wisdom when you're good, if you're bad as well, if you ask me wisdom, I'll give it to you on all circumstances without finding fault. I'll give you wisdom. Now that kind of wisdom is wisdom that's above us. It's from God, so it has got nothing to do with our intellect or our IQ or what, our EQ or whatever. It's God. What I found is most of the time it doesn't come to me immediately. I would ask God for wisdom in a certain case, but it wouldn't come to me immediately. I would, the day after that or sometimes a week after that, I would drive my car and suddenly I'll pull a file from somewhere, and I'm thinking, where did this come from? How am I thinking about this now? You recognize that, isn't it? And then you're thinking, where did I pull this file? Is it my thoughts? Did I work it out? Now, it sounds like your thoughts because he's inside of us, you see. He speaks within us. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2, David explains it this way. He says, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through me. His word is on my tongue. It just came. Romans chapter 10 verse 8 says, the righteous that's by faith says this, his word is in my heart, it's in my mouth. That's the word of wisdom. That's what God speaks through us. And it comes like that, just like that easy. Well, and you've got a lot of examples of that, I believe that. We've got a lot of examples, and it's all areas of our lives. How you have to raise your kids. We don't know how to raise. Our kids are all different. You try to raise them all the same, you can't. You stupidly want to do that. I found that out. I can't raise my kids. They're big already. I try to still raise them. Now they're raising me. And in your work situation, in whatever, in your whole life, holistically, we can ask God for wisdom in our lives. The other day, somebody came to me and they said, God says to you, it's 2 months ago, you eat wrong. You eat wrongly. It's a young guy. He says, I can't help with him, Joe. Die Here sê vir my, jy eet verkeerd. Ek sê vir my, hoe moet ek eet? En jy weet ook nie hoe moet ek eet. Dan is ek eers vies vir die oukie. En ek gaan huis toe, and I don't know how I stumbled on it, and God gave me wisdom about not killing myself with a knife and fork, you know. Killing me softly. And he gave me wisdom. And I'm amazed by that. I'm so amazed that and I'm sharper, I'm fitter, just because of wisdom he gave me. Of what I should eat. Because of course I asked him, I said, God, you said to this young guy, what must I do now? And it came to me in just a wonderful way. Word of wisdom. Word of knowledge is a bit different than a word of wisdom. It's got a different function. A word of knowledge touches things that's deep inside of us. Just to set us up for God for another gift. Word of knowledge should never function on its own. Many people, they flow in a word of knowledge which they think is prophetic, which is not. It's another. Prophetic is another gift. A word of knowledge sometimes touches a negative area in your life, which God is never in a place where he would expose you. There's not a reason for it, but it seems like it sometimes because they touch something which is not good. He does not expose people, he covers people. God doesn't work for the star or the Sowetan or a Beeld or what. He doesn't work for them. He doesn't need to expose. Why do you want to does he want to expose you? You know, he covers people. But he sometimes touches things in your life deep. He holds on and he gets all of that so that he can come with another gift and speak to you. Like prophecy comes together with words of knowledge in a good way. The prophetic, the Bible says, in 1 Corinthians 14, he says prophetic is for strengthening, comfort, and strengthening of a body. That's the main thing of the New Testament prophetic. It's for that. It's mainstream. God, yes, he rebukes in that. He will give you direction around it. But the whole thing is about his heart. His heart is to strengthen, comfort, and encourage people. That's God's heart. That's why he wants to in Isaiah 42, he says, I will not break the cracked reed. I will not snuff out the smoking pit. So if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, God, I'm cracked and my faith is like a smoking pit. He wants to blow on you so that it'll be a fire again. That's God's heart. That's his heart for you. He doesn't want to break you. But he would come sometimes with a word of knowledge. Touch your heart, and then he comes with a prophetic afterwards. And the prophetic lifts you up. He touches something, and the prophetic comes afterwards. Amen. Father, I thank you for your presence in this place. And I thank you, Lord, for your heart for us. And Lord, that you raise us up and that you work in us, Father, in an awesome way. And I want to say something that whatever I do today need not to be something that it's like a show or something. Whatever I do today, I want you to be in a position where you say, God, stir the desire in my heart for you. Because we need to look past people, because we are all just people. But God gives gifts to people, and God enables us to do certain things, but to enthuse each other as well. And few of you will ever be same as me, and I will not be same as you. But we all can look at God and say, God, make me the best me. I wrote a poem about this. Can I read you? Can I give my poems? Very short. Always look for an audience to give my poems. So you stuck here. You have to listen. It goes like this. God addresses us. He says, you and me. You will be you, and I will be me. Strange as it may be, the more you are you, the more you'll understand about me. You see, God doesn't want to change you in somebody else. He wants to make you a better you. And as you realize that, you can find yourself in an awesome place. Say, God, I've got an appreciation for myself, but I know you want to make me a better me. Therefore, I have to start at a place of appreciating myself. So, I want you to know me, Lord. I want to be me. You are you, but I want to be the best me.